This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
The Enemy's Briefcase by Andrew Cockburn, Secret Powers and the Presidency. Again, this is way too long for me to read, but it's coming from mainstream outlet Harper's Magazine. And this was just published. I think it's like about to come out in the official magazine like this month. Yeah, see, it says from the November 2020 issue. And you can download the PDF and you can read it and all these kinds of things. What I do want to say, though, if you don't know who Andrew Cockburn is, he's a good writer, so I would check his work out. But what he's getting into here is something I've never heard of: presidential emergency action documents. And he's basically talking about how Donald Trump has access to these PEADs, or presidential emergency action documents, and that every single president going back generations has had access to these. But these are some of the apparently most secretive presidential orders that we don't often hear about. We know about things like the COG plans, continuity of government plans, but at the same time, this is apparently even more secret. While continuity of government has been discussed sometimes in hush-hush tones of, you know, a plan for what the government would do in case of some sort of emergency, nuclear apocalypse or things like that, that's been discussed out in the public, but these PAEDs, I've never heard of this. So it says, presidential emergency action documents, orders that authorize a broad range of mortal assaults on our civil liberties. In the words of a rare declassified official description, the documents outline how to, quote, implement extraordinary presidential authority in response to extraordinary situations by imposing martial law, suspending habeas corpus, seizing control of the internet, imposing censorship, and other repressive measures. Joel McCleary, a White House official in the Carter administration, said, quote, we know about the nuclear briefcase that carries the launch codes, but over at the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department, there's a list of so-called enemies of the state that would be rounded up in an emergency. I've heard it called the Enemy's Briefcase. These chilling directives have been silently proliferating since the dawn of the Cold War as an integral part of the hugely elaborate and expensive continuity of government program, which is a mechanism to preserve state authority. They even have underground bunkers in case, you know, something happens to the president. And this is the point. It's continuing to go on. There's all these different types of plans that are taking place. And this is in the background of COVID-19. I think it's important to, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because since COVID-19 began, you guys know that Donald Trump declared a state of emergency around the country. And then at the same time, your state and local authorities also declared states of emergency. Back in Houston, where I'm from, I remember when this happened. The mayor, he basically was granted indefinite emergency powers in the city of Houston. And there was only two council members who said, hey, maybe we don't want to just give this guy blanket authority into infinity. How about we say in 6 weeks for you visit it or something like that? And they basically got shut down and nobody listened. And so now, as it stands, and I was the only one, you know, of course, I'm the crazy journalist in Houston. I was the only one asking, do these powers extend to vaccines? Does this grant, because if you read the executive orders, not only the presidential executive order, but all of the local and state executive orders, they pretty much already have language that would allow them to force vaccinate you. I wrote an article on this for Last American Vagabond way back in March or April, how showing that at least the state of Florida, and I'm sure others now, have already codified this and basically said that they can do whatever is necessary during emergency times to keep the public healthy. And if that means that they're going to, you know, force vaccinate you, then that's basically what they're going to do. You know, that's what it's going to come down to. So think about that. We've got these continuity of government plans. We've got these presidential emergency, what they call it, presidential emergency action documents, what is known as the Enemy's Briefcase, a secret set of rules that will allow the president to impose martial law, suspend habeas corpus, seize the control of the internet, impose censorship. I mean, I would say, guys, and I know others have said this, because we've been in a state of emergency since 9/11, it was issued in the days after 9/11, and every single president in Congress has continued to issue the state of emergency. I would say that we are already under a form of covert martial law light, where legally they think they have the right to do all this, but they're not coming out publicly and doing it because they're afraid of, you know, basically getting the people to wake up. I mean, think about it. If they announced tomorrow they were declaring martial law, then people would probably freak out more. Just like COVID woke a lot of people out, it serves their purposes to try to get people to be, you know, sort of to slowly boil them, right? Like the frog in the pot, right? It's a slow incremental movement. But all of this is in the background. This is what's going on, guys. They have these emergency powers, these presidential emergency action documents. And Elizabeth Gotien, the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at NYU, says this is really one of the best kept secrets in Washington. But through the PEADs, though the PEADs are secret from the American public, they're not secret from the White House and from the executive branch. And the fact that none of them have ever been leaked is really quite extraordinary. And what I think that means is that they basically, they realize that they both can benefit from this. This is why neither the Democrats or the Republicans ever call each other out and say, hey, you know, they want these emergency powers. They want the NDA, you know, whatever. They want to indefinitely detain you. Neither one of them says anything, because they basically want to make sure that they can use it if they ever need it. You know, the Obama administration didn't get rid of it because he wanted to make sure he could have it. And the Trump administration didn't get rid of it because he wanted to make sure he can have it. And on and on and on it will go. Just like when Obama came into office after Bush, he covered up for the Bush torture. He didn't investigate Bush's torture. You know, his administration totally backed off. Of course, they continued the surveillance programs. And it's the same thing. This is basically what they do. These types of programs exist and they're not going anywhere. And there's really, I mean, it goes on and on in here, and they go deep into the history, how this goes back to Franklin Roosevelt, Truman, World War II. Let me just see if I can. Now, just here's an example for those of you who forgot about this history. Franklin Roosevelt, for example, invoked emergency powers when he incarcerated 120,000 Americans of Japanese ethnicity. One of them, Fred Korematsu, a 23-year-old welder from Oakland, California, refused to cooperate and sued. His case reached the Supreme Court, which duly ruled that the roundup of U.S. citizens had been justified by military necessity. Justice Robert Jackson, one of the three dissenters, so one of the judges that was like, hey, this is some crazy shit, he wrote that the emergency used to justify the action would end the principle of arbitrary power sanctified by the court decision. And he said, quote, this would endure into the future, a loaded weapon ready for the hand of any authority that can bring forward a plausible claim of an urgent need. And he says, Jackson's warnings now ring louder than ever, given the spectacle of a president who revels in displays of arbitrary power. And it's not just about Trump. This is about, again, any single president could use these powers. So I know many of us have talked about continuity of government and heard about this over the years if you've been deep into the conspiracy community for a while, but I've never heard of these presidential emergency action documents. And it's just more bureaucratic. Like it's documents, right? But this is real. This is real life, guys. They've already used it during the Japanese internment. They've used it after 9/11, and you better believe they could use it again. And this is why I've been telling people, you need to be prepared for what's coming. We're just a week and a half away from the election. Last night, Biden talks about dark winter. There's apparently we're already in a third wave. I don't know if you guys knew that. I don't know where the second wave went, but we're in a third wave. And there's talk of civil unrest after the election and chaos. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the background. And all of this gives the governments the perfect excuse they need to try to clamp down and say, declare some of these emergency orders. You know, I mean, I hope you guys really think about that. And I want to just add this into the context of this before we get to our last story about the Fed digital dollar, guys. If for those of you who have read Whitney Webb's articles about Cyber Reason, the Israeli and U.S. tied company that was doing simulations of the U.S. election, and in their simulations, they said that hackers hacked smart cars and were crashing into voters. They were also hacking the electric grid, and they were bringing down the power, and they were hacking the 9/11 systems, and the elections got canceled. Yeah, that all sounds like crazy fantasy, but that's another one of the reasons I've been telling people to be careful. And then just today, I saw these articles, guys. Let me show you this right now. I saw this one here that could be nothing. This could be totally random. So please don't take this as me fear-mongering. This is just me trying to show you what's happening in the background. Exclusive from just this morning, National Guard called in to thwart cyber attack in Louisiana weeks before election. The Louisiana National Guard was called in to stop a series of cyber attacks aimed at small government offices across the state in recent weeks, according to two people with knowledge of the events, highlighting the threat, the cyber threat facing local governments in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election. I mean, isn't this just perfect? Just a couple of days ago, they say, we have evidence that Iran and China and Russia are trying to interfere with the U.S. elections. And now we're getting this word that there was Louisiana National Guard having to get sent in because of attacks on the power grid. And this follows a similar case in Washington State, according to a cybersecurity consultant, where hackers infected some government offices with a type of malware known as ransomware, which locks up the systems and demands payments to get back in. So this could just be some random crazy hackers. But according to experts investigating the Louisiana incident, they found a tool used by the hackers that was previously linked to a group associated with the North Korean government. Now, is that true? I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you know about Cyber Reason, and if you read those articles, or if you watched my reports when I talked about this, guys, this could be an early sign that if just be aware, if you start hearing news reports in the next week that there are cyber attacks taking place around the country, get ready. There's a very real potential that they could bring down the electric grid. They being, I don't know, real hackers, potentially, false flags, more likely. But either way, you need to be aware of whatever's coming, guys.
This is Derek Bros. Derek Bros. Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are.